Hello, everyone out there. This is Peter Harris from Commercial Property Advisors, author of the book, Commercial Real Estate Investing for Dummies, and coach and mentor to many commercial real estate investors all across this great nation of ours. The title and subject of today's podcast is
How to Build a $6 Million Multifamily Portfolio Part-Time from Scratch. How do you do that? Well, that's what you're going to learn, so stay tuned. But first, I have three quick questions for you. How many of you work a full-time job? How many of you have family obligations? And thirdly, how many of you are short on retirement funds? How many of you? But most importantly, the most important question is, how many of you are all three of these? How many? Raise your hands. Well, guess what? I have good news for you today. I'm going to share with you a short interview with one of our students. His name is Dave. He's just a very unassuming, awesome guy, family guy. He's a full-time truck driver. He drives trucks full-time for petroleum companies. Very dangerous job. He has a wife. He has kids. He has grandkids. And they're all beautiful, by the way. And he's way behind on his retirement. And he came to us for help. Good news. Over the last 5 years, Dave was able to purchase 7 apartment buildings in Northern California, mind you, one of the toughest areas to buy multifamily. His portfolio value is now over $6 million. And guess what? He produces over $600,000 in yearly rental income. How did he do that? Well, I'm going to share with you his short interview where he's going to take you down and share with you his acquisition schedule, how he bought the 7 properties. And then next, he'll share with you how he financed them, which is really important and just brilliant, in my opinion. And lastly, his 3 keys to success to put yourself in his shoes, because if Dave can do it, you can do it. All right, everyone. I have a special guest here, Dave, and he's just incredible. You just heard me talk about him, and now you get to actually meet him and hear his story. So here we are, Dave. Hey, Dave, thank you for being with us. I really appreciate it. I know you're a very busy guy.
No, I know you're busy as well, so I appreciate it. Also, looking forward to hopefully it's being a good benefit for current protégés and potential ones coming. So thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. All right, Dave, let's jump into it. So please tell us a little bit about yourself. You're married, your job and kids and all that.
Yeah, so married about 15 years coming up here in August. Been in the transportation service for probably almost 30 years now. And wow. just really enjoy working. I'm not a desk person, didn't do good in school. Just really enjoy working outdoors and got 4 kids, all grown up, and very blessed and thankful that they're still all here in the state. Yeah, just very, very thankful to be where we're at. You know, God's been good to us for sure.
Amen. All right. Mm-hmm. And Dave, so about 5 years ago, you came to us. So why commercial real estate, Dave? So what's some of the drivers?
Yeah, I was just doing a lot of Google searching. And at that point, at my previous job, I was looking to pension out early, and I realized, man, I'm just going to come up short. So I was just looking for different ways, you know, how can we supplement the income? How can we have a set retirement, something that'll keep up with inflation? All these questions that a lot of people think about, right? And, you know, one of the main factors, even back then, you know, we were hear about inflation, you hear about Social Security and these even pensions that were fixed, but they just were not keeping up with inflation, let alone just the current wage, even jobs. And, you know, so, you know, talking with Andrea about it, just like, I'm going to keep searching. So somehow stumbled into commercial real estate on the feed, just looking at real estate stuff, being that my father was in real estate. So I even talked to him about it. And he says, yeah, you should do some research and check into it, because, you know, they're retired on, you know, down towards Southern California, and the real estate was good for him. It was good with him. And so we talked a little bit about that. He did multifamily, but it was 4 units or less. So he never got into the commercial side, never really thought about it. But even at that time, the real estate was so good to him, he never thought about, you know, scaling and those things. It just worked out where he just kind of stumbled into just holding. and refine and going through 60s, 70s, and 80s, everything escalated so well. It was, he just never thought about it. But it just got me thinking as I was going through the feeds and doing research. And then that's when you started coming up on the commercial search. And I was like, So I started listening to a few people, listened to you, and just the way you presented your YouTubes on the whiteboard just really stuck with me. You know, just it was more to it than just listening. And there wasn't very many people that did the whiteboard. So I just started going one episode after another on your feed, and then just got connected to your site. And then it just went from there.
Okay, so, great.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And speaking of scaling, Dave, you scaled quite well with your multifamily over the last 5 years. We're talking 7 properties, 45 units, $6 million. Can you quickly walk us through your acquisition schedule?
Okay. So we picked up a 5-unit, and then our second one was a 6-unit. And then we held those for a while. Then we went to a 5-unit, which was from a broker. And then from there, we went 5-unit again. And then from there, we jumped to a 9-unit, which was deal 5. And then the 6-unit. And then our most recent one was a 7-unit, 6 with a warehouse.
And that 7-unit was interesting, right? Because it was an apartment building with a warehouse on the side, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the size of the warehouse? It was like 1,200 square feet or something like that, right?
It was about 18 to 2,000
square feet. Okay, 18 to 2,000. And it came with the property. It was vacant when you bought it.
Yes.
And now you have it filled, right?
Correct. Yeah. It was actually, and we could touch on relationships, but it was actually a reference from a broker who closed the deal on an industrial property. And he said, "Hey, I got an appliance guy that's looking for storage."
That's there you go. And what would you get for per month on the rent of that warehouse space?
Basically, we didn't really do anything to the warehouse. We just added some lighting to it, and we had to reconnect the power box. So basically, we started at 700, which is pretty low, but you know, we did it escalation. So we have an agreement every year. It goes up $100 per month per year.
Wow.
up to 1,000 on the lease, on the agreement.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Okay, great. And that goes direct to the bottom line and then adds direct value to your cash flow and your forced appreciation. Yeah. So that was a pretty sweet deal. It's a pretty sweet deal. Okay. So Dave, I'm sure everyone's wondering, how did you finance all your deals? So for example, the first one, how was the first property? Maybe the first two were funded. Can you share with that? And then how did you scale up and use your different financing techniques?
Yeah. So quickly, in general, first two, I just started getting on the phone and started calling lenders in that area where the properties were. And then again, going back to your last video, talking about, you know, banking, just started with local banks, ones that, you know, lend friendly. Terms might not always be the best, but, you know, you have to work somewhere, right? You got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And because of the deal.
Was the down payment from yourself and your wife or for these?
Yes, from the beginning. Correct. Definitely. So we did the down at that time. It was a 25% down payment.
Okay. And then you quickly run out of money, right? Buy more properties. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So how did you fund the others?
So basically on the third one, we did a HELOC. So what we were able to do, because the bank that we started with, he has suggested, he goes, "Hey, why don't you guys get a HELOC? And then you can either use it as a down payment." You know, he started throwing these terms. So being that I had a relationship and I trusted him, you know, I made that sense. And of course, you and I talked about it. But basically, the third deal, we ended up doing a cash offer deal. And that's how we got connected with the broker. That was our first broker deal on that one.
Okay. Okay, great. So the first two deals were with you and your wife's money. The third deal used a HELOC. And then the subsequent deals, you went out and got a pretty cool line of credit. And then, so talk to us about that. How does one get a line of credit?
Are you talking about for the third deal or after?
The third deal was your HELOC. So we understand that part. And after that, because you've accumulated so much equity in the apartments, you were able to go out and get a line of credit from a different lending source.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what we did on that one, Peter, is we just did a straight refi. So we actually grouped the first three properties And we got the rents up on that and the NOI, like you talk about. We got that increased. And then as caps were shrinking too, that just kind of, you know, and interest rates, it helped us, mm-hmm. you know, get maximize the value on those. So that's how we did that. We just basically did a cash out refi to move on to the other deals.
Okay. So you did a cash out refi. And then from there, you were able to get a line of credit from a different source for the other deals, right? Mm-hmm. And was that because of the equity that you produced in the properties? They were happy to give you a certain size of credit line?
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And what was nice about it is some of the properties that we were looking at that needed work, it gave us that more flexibility for them to lend because, like you said, because of the line of credit, it wasn't like a straight qualification, mm-hmm. tighter terms and those kind of things. When we did the refi, it actually paid off our HELOC that we used previously.
Okay.
Because of the property that we got, the third property, because we got such a deal on it, we were able to reuse the HELOC.
Mm-hmm. And keep on buying.
And keep on buying.
Now, that was a brilliant display of financial arbitrage, Dave, I will call it, right? Yeah. So first of all, using your money and then increasing the value of that property, those two properties, and then using your personal HELOC to do other acquisitions, right? Buying all cash and then refinancing those and then creating more equity in the properties and then getting a line of credit based upon your portfolio and buying other properties cash and then paying that line of credit off through your cash out refinances.
Mm-hmm, right. Correct.
And then voila. You know, we're sitting in 5 years, you know, $6 million worth of property, 7 properties, 45 units. And you did a wonderful, wonderful job with that, Dave.
Again, it's one of the things you really stressed about is when you go into the deal, what is your exit? Because that's the key, right? One of the keys, at least for our experience in scaling, was looking at that exit, was the potential. Can we get the HELOC back and then reuse it, stabilize that property and move on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, through your 7 properties, and these are relatively small apartment units, but mm-hmm. to date, you're collecting over $600,000 a year in rental income.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty amazing, Dave. All right. So the next thing I want to talk about is this success that you've accumulated. Obviously, there's keys to this. So what are some of the keys, Dave?
Yeah. So some of the keys, again, you know, this all goes back to just what you taught, Peter. And one of the main things was relationships. And I know that you have a video on that, but you always touch that in some of your other videos, which is, I think, was one of the things that we focused on. And you, at the same time, Peter, when you build those relationships, you have to be genuine, because if not, you know, people are going to see that. So you got to make sure that when you work with someone that you're going to show integrity, transparency, and that you're going to pull through and you're going to value their time, whoever it is. So in this case, you know, whether it's the broker, the lender, whoever those people are, you know, putting systems in place and then hoping that they click with you too and that they want to work with you. So you're looking for that mutual. So I love that video too of yours. Props to you and your team for doing that. As those things were just little factors that helped contribute to where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So key number one is the nurture of the relationships and, you know, in the industry, right? And you're mm-hmm. talking about sellers. You did a great job with your sellers, you know, going to them direct. Agents, right? You're able to find a few of your deals through agents and cultivate those relationships. Yeah. And then thirdly, through the people that you work with, your property manager, your vendors, and all that. So mm-hmm. and look what you've done. Okay, so that's key number one. What's key number two, Dave?
Okay, and then we just touched on a little bit, but to get more detail on the mentorship, there's a saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So basically what I'm referring to is your system. Just be coachable and follow the system. And that's just basically what we did. We know real estate is good and it always perseveres, right? Even through the little dips and it comes down. It's just a matter of how to use that. So I think that's where your mentorship comes in. And like I said, some of the key points, whether it's the mindset video, some of those videos, your team, you know, you guys already gone through whatever the ups and downs, your experience to put that together, which I think probably saved us 5 to 10 years of, you know, potential mistakes. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that I learned, like we touched on, the exit, seeing that on the back end really helped me just to plan and say, hey, we could potentially refi and be conservative with the numbers. So mentorship is definitely, and your program is, my opinion, I'm not biased, just through experience, it's spot on. You just follow the principles that you have, you and your team put in place. There's no reason to overanalyze it. Just follow, you know, Peter's coachable steps and his team, and he'll direct you. He'll help you with that.
All right. Thanks, Dave. So key number one is relationships. Key number two, mentorship, find a good mentor. And what's the third one?
Yeah. And then I would say finding a good property manager. And again, you know, I know you have a couple videos on that. And then some of the investors that I've even talked with, we're talking about that, how golden that is to have that and to build a relationship and a trust with your property management. Because, you know, like we talked about, you know, we're busy. We're not even in the area. To find someone that can help manage that, potentially it's like an employee of you that you would trust in a business to run that business so that you can continue to focus on scaling and do other things. Because one of the things I've realized is time is just as valuable, and using your team, using finances to get there is key, right? So yeah. So props to Nicole, if you listen to this, awesome, and her team. It's just been fantastic. So
yes. And Nicole, David, Andrea, and I have been on the phone quite a few times, and your name has come up so many times. So, you know, you're a pretty incredible property manager. So Dave, back to the audience. So they probably would like to know, what does a good property manager look like? I mean, why does Nicole stand out? So what are one or two qualities that someone can look for in a property manager?
Mm-hmm. One of them that I looked for was communication.
I agree.
You got to have good communication. Someone that knows their numbers.
Now, when you say know her numbers, what numbers? You mean expenses or rents or both? Or
yeah,
what?
Expenses, rents, knows the market. She will tell me not only within counties, Peter, she'll tell me within blocks. That could vary $50 to $100 per month on a unit. Because in this case, she was born and raised in that area. So she knows it like in the back of her hand, which I never even thought about knowing. So I think that's another key. If possible, find someone that's been in that area, if not born and raised in the area, just grew up in that market.
Yeah.
So I think that's key. And like I said, her dad owns real estate, and something that she wants to transition into. So she understands that investor type mindset to a point. With that said, that helps her put more value into our properties, because she's taking mental notes, because we've had discussions on that. And not to tail off too much, but she's even asking me questions about that, you know, and wanting to invest. So definitely, you know, communication, knowing the market in that area. And then, you know, someone that is going to be responsive. So basically, even if it's on the weekend, there's a couple of times where, you know, my landscaper, we just had one in one of our properties where the landscaper was there, and there was a faucet or some pipe that blew out.
Mm-hmm.
She reached out to Nicole. I reached out to Nicole because she sent the message to us. And Nicole quickly said, hey, I got somebody on it to send it. So just to have that peace of mind that even on the weekends, you know, she steps up and she understands service and taking care of her
team. No, that's good. So, you know, Dave, you're a busy truck driver. Your wife is busy. You have 7 properties here, you know, 45 units. So the what you're saying is, what does a good property manager look like? You're saying that the three things, number one is have a great communication between all sides. Number two, knowing the market really, really well down to the blocks, right? And then number three, being responsive, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's number three. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that's a wonderful property manager. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Okay, Dave, this has been great. This is so information packed. And I just want to say thank you for just spending this valuable time with us this morning.
All right, welcome back. Now, can you see how awesome Dave is? I mean, he's non-assuming, such a humble guy. And look at what he's worth now. He started from scratch, no experience whatsoever. Now look at him. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to quickly summarize what happened, because I really believe that if Dave can do it, you can do it. I'm going to show you how to put yourself in Dave's shoes by just quickly going over What happened? So I'm going to share with you Dave's, I call this Dave's multifamily arbitrage. How did he purchase 7 multifamily properties from scratch, right? Starting from nothing. Well, he purchased a 5 and then a 6 and then a 5 and then a 5, then a 9 unit, then a 6 unit, then a 7 unit. So it equals 45 units, okay? It took him 5 years, okay? Like I said, commercial is not overnight. 5 years of work from Dave, and look what he has. And by the way, Dave told me that these 5 years has reduced his retirement or sped up his retirement by 10 whole years. What else can buy 10 years from you? Multifamily can. So here's a schedule. So here's Dave's arbitrage. So multifamily property 1 and 2, he started small. And there's nothing wrong with starting small because the down payments are lower. It's easier to get a loan for it. So Dave used his own money for these first 2. They were small properties. Multifamily 3, what he did was he did a HELOC on his home, pulled out a bunch of money, and ended up buying property 3, all cash. Then he refied multifamily 3, and he paid off the HELOC, and then he obtained a line of credit based upon his new net worth. So because he did such a great job on these first 3 properties, he went from this value to that value by increasing the rents, increasing NOI, the market's doing better. Next thing you know, the lender sees his net worth and say, hey, we'll lend you money based upon your new net worth. So they gave him a line of credit that he used for down payments of multifamilies 4, 5, 6, and 7. So brilliant, right? But pretty simple with some good planning, good coaching, pretty simple stuff and very doable, even in today's market. So next one I'm gonna share with you real quick is what Dave calls his 3 keys to success. These will probably stand until the end of time, okay? These are Dave's 3 keys to success. Number 1 is he nurtured industry relationships to be able to get a lender, because it's his first time, to give him a loan, to find his property manager, to work with brokers, all those types of things that Dave did. Now, you always hear me say that commercial real estate is a relationship-based business. It does not matter who you are, how much money you have, how much money you make, what college degree you have. It's the ability to build and nurture relationships. Got it? Okay, I hope you understand that. Number 2, Dave's second key to success is to follow a system. He followed a system. He said, if it ain't broke, he said, don't fix it. So after Dave started this, he goes, wow, this works. He just kept on doing it after until he built up 7 properties in 5 years. Third, and this is very practical because Dave is a full-time truck driver, is to hire a good property management company, a good property manager. Her name is Nicole. She is awesome, by the way. So I asked Dave, what are the 3 best attributes about the best property managers? Well, easily, he said, and I agree with them, number 1 is they have to have good communication. Number 2, they have to know the market by the blocks. What does that mean? So Nicole, your property manager, has to know what the rents are per block, what their trends are per block. Not the whole city, not this neighborhood, by block, she knows where rents can be had in each of those streets. Incredible, right? Incredible knowledge. And then number 3, to be responsive, right? All 3 are no-brainers, but guess what? They're hard to find. So when you find a property manager who can do all 3, you need to build your portfolio around this property manager. Okay, you really do. And that's exactly what Dave did. Okay, thanks everyone for hanging out with me. I really enjoyed having you here. If you want to learn more about, you know, what Dave did, feel free to apply to our Protégé program. And again, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.